Now, I think there's another paper that was presented at ASCO this year, which I think is very relevant. How, in those people who use Oncotype DX, how many times does it really change your clinical practice? And I was surprised to see that in this analysis from the US Oncology Group, 350 patients, that in 29% of patients, the treatment decision was changed based on the Oncotype DX result in colon cancer. This is higher than I would have expected it. And it was interesting to see that the most likely trend was to kind of downsize adjuvant therapy, meaning decrease the intensity or not give it at all, rather than more intensify it. So in the end, I think, you know, this is exactly the analysis we need to do, is do these tests really change our clinical practice?
So Bert, what are your thoughts about this in terms of where it is now and where it might be heading?
Well, I think my thoughts are similar to what have been expressed, that the idea is interesting, the trends are interesting, the practical use is difficult to understand. The stage three data, I think, are really interesting because I do think we're over-treating people with oxaliplatin. And, you know, to have someone who might be on the fence about getting oxaliplatin and have a low-risk score, I think it is interesting to think about treating that patient with a fluoropyrimidine alone, especially knowing that, you know, even in the entire group, that the benefits are small. So I actually can see more potential for that use than the stage two situation. I mean, I'm glad to see with the stage two situation that people are downgrading their therapy. I think right now there is a tremendous overuse of oxaliplatin in people with standard risk stage two colon cancer. There's no evidence that oxaliplatin improves outcome in that patient population. So if the end result of the Oncotype test is that people will use less oxaliplatin in stage two, then that's a good thing, and perhaps the test should be used more often than it has been.
Although there were some patients in that paper from Tom Cartwright where they had high recurrence scores and it moved them towards
treatment. Correct. They utilized it in both ways. And again, overall it was 29% of patients where the treatment approach was changed. And I think this is actually something which probably raises a flag that there is a perceived need, and there is actually a need for better than just clinical staging in our treatment decisions.
So, Charlie, you know, one thing, again, looking across tumor types, that's very different in colon cancer than breast cancer, is you have the option of a fluoropyrimidine, and you actually have the option of capecitabine. You don't have that in breast cancer, and, you know, non-alopecic oral medication. And I put this in your binders, but this is one of my favorite graphs from the meeting. This is your colleague, Jeff Meyerhart, showed this in one of some discussion he gave, I think it was this year. But the thing that comes out here is if you look at the impact of adjuvant therapy, you know, a good portion of it is the fluoropyrimidine to start with. So, you know, Charlie, if you can say, you know, if you can differentiate a 3 versus an 8, for example, percent difference, at least in your own mind, maybe it's not pure science, but you sort of have this global feeling, you know, you have the option of a fluoropyrimidine.
So, Neil, just to characterize that, you know, the difference, if you look at it, is 68% for stage threes, 5-year median survival, versus 72% if you add oxaliplatin. And if you just do surgery alone, it's 50%. So the vast majority of the survival benefit, the difference between 50% and 68%, comes from the 5-FU. The little bit at the top comes from the oxaliplatin.
So where do you see this heading, Charlie?
I don't think we know yet. The value of these tests in colon cancer across any of the gene expression platforms is really uncertain. And I think the point made earlier, which is how good are we at figuring out what the genes are that are informative? We, you know, among the 24,000 to choose for, you come up with 7 that you think is going to predict. Is that really going to work? Now, in breast cancer, there's no denying, I think that test works. And they've got rigorous data that tells you the likelihood of survival, and it tells you their benefit to chemotherapy or not. We just don't have that kind of data in colon cancer yet.
Neil, if I could just add, so Oncotype DX, in my presentation last year of 9581, the validation with Oncotype DX, we actually also explored a new Oncotype DX, sort of an embellished one with additional genes, that was no different in terms of outcome. So you didn't hear any discussion about it because it had no impact. So they have explored adding possibly informative genes to the mix. But again, part of it is the way these different groups have developed their tests. Some groups have handicapped genes and figured out which ones are likely biologically to be relevant. Others have taken a broader approach. And my bet is that any number of these combinations might give you the same information.